As we head up to Derbyshire, who will be king of the castle, Donington? And who will be the dirty rascal? This is the Donington Park GP preview. Lots to get right there.
You spat that out eventually, didn't
you? Lots to get right.
Hello and welcome back. We are British Touring Car Podcast, and we are going to bring you up to date with all the news that's been happening in the run-up to Donington Park. 3 weekends left to go in the championship.
It's flown by, isn't it?
And it's getting close, isn't it? It's certainly a top two have pulled away.
Yeah.
And Ingram made the most of the Knockhill weekend to pull out a little bit of a lead over Ash Sutton.
Yeah, Ingram has sort of gone over the brow of the hill. Almost feels the way they've sort of matched each other all season, it does feel like it's going to be difficult for Sutton to close the gap from here. But stranger things have happened in the touring cars, and obviously this weekend we're off to the full Donington Park circuit, which has got the GP loop with the tight hairpin, so that always brings up a few bits and bobs.
Which one do you prefer out of the two?
I prefer the non-GP one, only because I'm yet to actually, I don't know. I don't think I've yet seen any real action. I remember there's one year that Robot just caused absolute carnage by having bits falling off his car left, right, and centre. I would say that I think that the longer route gives a little bit more drama, but I think the shorter route gives better racing overall. I think that there's a difference between drama and good racing. And I think that arguably, yes, the longer route is more exciting because there's the drama. But actually, in terms of great racing, I think it's probably a little bit better around the short loop. Yourself, I'm presuming you're getting the idea of a big loop here.
Yeah, I quite prefer the big loop. You've got, obviously, chicane goes the other way, and then you've got a big overtaking zone into that hairpin, and then you've got another hairpin coming back onto the pit straight, which I just think promotes more overtaking.
Can I be really controversial? I prefer that we started at this one and went, and I'll tell you for why, because we've had it the last couple of years. They're one of the title champion or contenders has had a big biff. Last year was Ingram, got biffed off of that, but it's such a, I know you might say, oh, that's just part of racing, but it's such a clinch and crunch zone that I do think that because of that, it'd be better to have it at the start of the season when there's plenty of time to make it up rather than it coming in the middle of a championship battle. Because it does feel that the further we go through the calendar, the more soft the tracks get. So Silverstone hasn't really got any excitement at all. Brands Hatch GP, you can't overtake on half of the circuit because it's too tight and out in the trees and stuff. It does kind of feel that, and then you've got this in the middle of it of, I suppose Knockhill, which is a law to itself. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of think it might be slightly better just to rotate the two.
Let us know your thoughts down in the comments of which layout of Donington is your favourite. Mm-hmm.
One team that won't be contesting a favourite this weekend.
Well done, mate.
I know, mate. After so many years now, mate, I've got this down to a T. Yeah, One Motorsport have today announced kindly before our podcast, which is nice, that they're not contesting the rest of the season for a multitude of reasons, including the ongoing health concerns of team owner Steve Dudman. So obviously we wish him best and hope he gets well soon.
Yep.
And they are focusing on getting back for the 2026 season. This, of course, means that Cook will not be back on the grid in a One Motorsport car. Who knows what might happen between now and the end of the season. There's quite a few rumours going around on that score, and it also presumably means we won't see Jelly back in any form, given that the team he had gone to have given his car to PMR. Obviously it's really difficult to comment on because it does, you know, the centre of it, there's a person's health as part of it. It does feel strange that is such a big reason in some ways, but it's hard to, you can't criticise it because, as I say, of the circumstances, but it does feel, say, a little bit strange that is such a big factor in them not coming back onto the grid. But
to me, it certainly feels like there's much more going on behind the scenes as to why they aren't able to get the whole race team together for the weekend. We've seen lots of other championships and motorsports be able to continue when a crucial figure is not there for a weekend. We've seen race weekends without Toto there for Mercedes, and they've been able
and
to
Zach
carry
for
on.
McLaren, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it does feel like there's something more underlying there. Obviously, we send our absolute best wishes
to him, of course.
And we really do hope that they're going to be back on the grid for 2026 because the grid feels like it's contracting and getting much smaller.
It does. It feels that the independent end of the grid is falling out, because really you've got the Hyundai, Ford, Megatron at the front, and BMW got four cars as well, let's not forget.
Yep.
And then the only real strong independent team this year has been Restart across both drivers, and they're a factory
fed by a factory team.
And obviously PMR have been fighting their own for a long time with one arm tied behind their back for multiple reasons. Obviously that's got a lot harder. And then Unlimited are there and doing the best, but they're not on the pace of the top runners. And I'd say you're right, it does feel that the championship is shrinking a little bit and we're losing a bit of competitive edge. So hopefully a bit of a reset, a bit of a sort of get things back in order for next season, and we can hopefully see One Motorsport return and be a little bit more competitive. Because it's also true to say they've not had the greatest season themselves.
No, they've certainly been off the pace, and I don't know whether that has been a contributing factor, thinking that they're not quite there and they need maybe some more development time over this off period. There's also question marks over whether they will continue to run the Civic going forward into next season. Obviously, there is going to be regulation changes going forward as well.
And it'll be the oldest car on the grid now, obviously, with the demise of the PMR Astras, as previously discussed. I think that's pretty much it on the news point of view. I mean, obviously, there's been quite a few rumours about what cars won't be used next season, but we've got a long off-season to debate that, so we won't go into that too much here. Instead, we'll go into the weekend itself. So I say, Donington Park GP debuted in 1986. This loop, it went away from the calendar for a long time, but it has been on the calendar in the past. 2.49 miles, so again, one of the longer circuits that we go to, not surprising with the additional part of the circuit, and 12 corners. And as usual, listeners will know, here we play, Sam has not done his prep. And for new time listeners, there may well be some, this is where Sam, who always has lots and lots and lots of prep coming into these preview recordings, is going to tell me straight away who has the qualifying lap record.
Ash Sutton.
Yes. Would you like to know, or would you like to tell me what year?
It's got to be from like the dominating year, 2023.
Yes, correct. Would you like to hazard a stab at a guess for the time?
No, because I got this radically wrong last year, thinking it was the shorter layout time. So no, I'm not even going to guess that.
If I told you it was in the 1 minute 30s, would you then hazard a guess? If I was to give you an actual...
33.2.
So you're not a million miles off. And then race lap record?
Sutton again?
No.
I'll go for Ingram then. Yep. They're the two drivers that are up and beyond everyone else at the moment.
Yeah, would you like to guess what year and what time?
Same year? 23?
No, 24.
Okay. And race times are normally a little bit slower, so in the 33s still, but low 33, high 33.
Yeah, though this is a much smaller gap than so it's 33.9, so it's only 7 tenths, which I know sounds a lot, but actually when you compare from the other previews we do, that's quite a short distance between the two. I think that would have probably been his race three last year, where he came from the back of the grid to second.
Thrashed through the field. Didn't
I think he had a brand new engine fitted as well, because he had a rock go through.
Yes,
if you remember rightly, the radiator.
Rock through the radiator.
Absolutely. I think he won your award last year for driver of the season, didn't it? From back of the grid to second. Been a long argument about it. So that was fun. Last year, Josh Cook took pole, which he obviously won't be doing this weekend. Although, interestingly, it was in a Toyota last year. So, the Toyota was in a completely different place, I think it's fair to say, last year, though. But maybe there's a circuit that might suit the Toyota a little bit more this weekend. I mean, I don't think it is, but you've got to give a little bit of...
Yeah, you've got to give some hope,
optimism, haven't you? Yeah. And then race one was won by Colin Turkington from Sutton from Hill. Race two was won by Sutton from Turkington from Hill. And race three was won by Camish from Ingram from Aaron Taylor-Smith. So... It's certainly a track where I think you expect the fastest drivers to come through, i.e. it's going to be a Sutton Ingram, you know, that level of driver that you expect to be near the front. In terms of, there is roughly a top four. I'll go through the tables in a minute. we'll keep top four for the sake of interest. Ingram had a fifth, a retirement, and a second. Sutton had a second, a first, and a non-contested or non-classified. Camish had an eighth, an 11th, and a first. And Rowbottom had a 14th, a sixth, and a 13th.
Ooh.
So a little bit of a mix from Robot on that weekend.
Poor run out from him. I came into this weekend thinking it's going to be a Hyundai circuit and a Hyundai stronghold, especially with how they went at the start of the season here as well. And those big long straights obviously will play right into the hands of that Hyundai engine, which we know is super powerful and seems to outdrag anything else. And that combined with the boost system that they've got in place, I think we could see quite a few overtakes from them coming on the straights.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll quickly run through the tables and then we'll talk about what we might expect to see this weekend. So it is Ingram at the top of the driver standings on 323, Sutton on 306, so 13 points back. No, not 13 points back. Maths, help me. 17 points back, thank you. Camish on 228, and I would argue out of the contention. Rowbottom on 214, Hill 197, Morgan 170, Chilton 169, Rainford 134, Proctor 116, and Smiley on 116. In the Jack Sears, we have De Leon leading that by a single point over Charles Rainford, then Osborne back on 277. And then in independent standings, Smiley leads that on 290. Doble on 277, Lloyd on 265, then Patson on 235. And after that, we've only got two drivers left on the grid. So I don't think they'll be contesting it particularly hard from there. So obviously, the weekend, as you say, you expected Hyundai to go well. I think it's getting really difficult to do these previews because every week it is, I think the Ford will go well, and I think the Hyundai will go well, and they invariably do. And that's the end of that, really, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously, last time out, we saw how well the BMW went, mm-hmm. but we know that Knock Hill is a very BMW-specific track, and they go well out of the traction zones there. There are a couple more traction zones here than we used to, especially from the earlier on in the season, where their performance was dismal, like really dismal.
Yeah, should have thought about that for my predictions. Yeah, good call.
I do think they've improved throughout the season as a team, and we obviously saw how much they improved going to Brands earlier in the season. So I think they'll be on a slight high coming from Knock Hill. But I still don't see them really challenging for wins this weekend.
No, I don't think for wins, but I think with the slight boost alteration they've had and the data that they've obviously found in the setup of the car and stuff, the reason they've been so good here normally is, you're right, it's a traction zone, but also it's a power circuit. There's lots of straights, etc. Yeah. And traditionally, BMW have had a very strong engine, and this year it hasn't gone that way, has it?
I think the big struggle that they had at the start of the season, and Jake Hill referenced this, was the weight distribution mm-hmm. of the car. And with the elevation changes that you've got at Donington, you have to have a car that you've got 100% confidence yep. in. And we've seen how Sutton can chuck the car in at Old Hairpin. And yes, it'll be four-wheel sliding, but he'll know where the grip is and he'll be able to hold on to it. Whereas I don't think Hill and the other BMW drivers at the start of the season mm-hmm. had that confidence in the car. They may well show better this time round because they've had the majority of the season to get on top of it, understand it a little bit more, and understand what the car's going to do.
Yeah, that's quite possible. That is quite possible. It's difficult. I say it is really difficult to preview these now because mm-hmm. it is Sutton, it is Ingram. And if it's not them, it's Camish and it's Chilton and it's Rowbottom and to a lesser degree, maybe Proctor.
Yep.
I don't know what else
what
really
about to
say.
Toyotas? What are the Toyotas going to do this weekend, mate? Obviously, they took a pole here last yep. season. Again, we don't think they're probably going to reach that height this year, but could we see Sheddon, Taylor Smith finishing inside the top 10? Obviously, two more less cars at this point in the season. We've got PMR, who are probably going to be a little less competitive because they're still learning that Cupra yep. from last time out at Knock Hill.
And what flags mean.
So, could we see Toyota get some comfortable top 10 results?
I mean, we should, but we should be saying that regardless of the accelerating factors yeah. you've just given then. Sheddon and Aaron Taylor Swift in particular should be getting top 10 results on a fairly regular basis. Yeah. You know, it's, or at least challenging for and being right on the cusp of, when you take into fact you've got four Fords, four BMWs and four mm-hmm. Hyundais, and then six Hyundais effectively. But yeah, and that's been the problem. They've just not been on it. I mean, when you spell out the grid like that, you can go, oh, that's why they've not been getting the results. But actually, they've been nowhere near getting the results either. That's been the problem. Every time they've had any sort of good running in the race, there's been a problem, whether that be reliability or a puncture or, you know, how many times have we seen, oh, there's Aaron Taylor Smith and he's falling through the field. I mean, how many yep. times has that happened this season?
Yeah, reliability has been a massive problem for them. We know that Aaron Taylor Smith goes well at Donington mm-hmm. traditionally. He certainly did really well when he was in the Astra that year.
Got a podium last year, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if they can pick up anything in a race three, a reverse grid, and then hold on to something. But it's not really how we should be talking about Toyota as a team.
No, and people will say, well, they've got to win this year. And yeah, that's true, but you've got to put in the conditions of that race, and that's not to take anything away from what Sheddon did. He drove a very good race.
The conditions of that race.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. Yeah, you know, it was a wet race where these sort of results are yep. chucked up. You know, you see it in other motorsports, particularly F1, wet Monza, and suddenly you've got a really random race.
Stroll on the podium.
Danny Ricciardo, who'd forgotten how to drive, was able to take a win. You know, it's, yeah, these things happen in the rain. I think the best Toyota can hope for this weekend is maybe a top six in the reverse grid. I just don't see where. And they have got better, there's no doubt about it, but they're just, the problem is, once you start a season behind, everyone else is improving as the season goes on, so you're always playing catch-up.
Yep. I personally think that Restart are going to do a lot better this time out. I know they were your surprise bad for last time out at Knock Hill. I think Smiley really likes Donington.
He
goes well here traditionally. And we know that high underpower Hyundai power unit is going to be strong. So I think we could actually see a really good positive weekend like we saw at the start of the year for Restart. Yeah, yeah.
Well, for half a Restart.
For half a Restart. Never know. Dan Lloyd might... gain just, some luck sometime soon. But yeah, I could quite easily see them maybe challenging for top six this weekend if they get the setup and the tyre calls right this weekend.
Yeah, and Lloyd very nearly had a win here in the Cupra, broken toe link in the penultimate lap, I think it was, which is obviously heartbreaker.
Yep.
Maybe we can see Restart get up the front of a reverse grid. Maybe. I mean, the chance for them is there this weekend with the reduced grid. If they can get passing into the top 12 for race two, which isn't beyond the realms of possibility.
Unlimited, sorry.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. it's not beyond the realms of possibility to see maybe get the Cupra at the front. Or maybe even Doble could highlight that as a possibility for race three, get in the top 12 and pray for the big number. Back to Restart. I mean, the Dan Lloyd troubles and tribulations just continue, don't they? Obviously, he's now looking to raise funds to, as I understand it, basically fix the engine that blew up.
Crowdfunding to pay for his engine, yeah.
Yeah.
Which
it's just it's
a sorry place to be in, and it's really unfortunate for him. And obviously, drivers at the start of the season, especially like him and an independent team, have this wedge of budget to go, right, that's my fallback, that's my damage, that's what I've got to pay for. You don't necessarily expect to cook an engine or two in a season and then have that massive outlay. So that I can understand why he's had to go down that route.
Oh, yeah. It's a shame, with
a driver of his quality that he's not just able to go, okay, sponsors have managed to stump this up and I can pay for it outright sort of thing.
And it must be equally frustrating. You look across the garage and Smiley's not really had any problems this year. He's not really been caught up in any massive incidents. Also, I think of Dan Lloyd being... or putting himself off, or Cook putting him off, depending on what perspective you have of him at Alton Park, which obviously was a big rebuild on the car.
Yep.
And, you know, probably damaged components of the engine. If not the engine fully, it would have had an effect on the engine being rammed into a wall at that speed. And then you look across the garage and Smiley's had a fairly clean season where he's not really been involved. I think the worst he had was a puncture here or there, which is par for the course, and you know, it's nowhere near as catastrophic. So I think you might be right with Smiley. I think you should get a couple of good results here. And I can see a win, not this weekend though. Okay. I think Smiley gets a win for the end of the season, but I think it might be a race three at Brands Hatch when everything's decided, or a race three Silverstone where nothing else will happen.
So weather this weekend could possibly play a part. It looks like we're going to have a wet qualifying on Saturday.
At time of recording on Tuesday, because we always do this. We go, oh, it's going to be wet this weekend, take your brollies, and then it's 40 degrees and everyone's taking their brollies but using it for shade.
It is looking like we're going to get a little bit of rain. We might even get some rain on Sunday. At the moment, there is none necessarily forecast, but there is a percentage chance that it could happen. It does look like it's going to be overcast and cloudy, but as we always say, take all your equipment because you never know what's going to happen.
And Donington is an airfield, and the wind at Donington in particular,
bowl, isn't it?
It's the wind is second only to Snetterton, I think, and how aggressive it is and how you can quite easily get yourself a little bit red in the face from windburn, etc.
Haven't been to Thruxton yet, mate.
We haven't been to Thruxton yet. Of the tracks we've been to, Snetterton is winning the wind, but then Donington is a close second. So.
It is.
In terms of timings for the weekend, the stuff that you need to be aware of is that the Touring Car Race 1, obviously these are all subject to change depending on if there's any dramas in the support races, which I'll get to in a moment. Race 1 is at 11:30, Race 2 is at 2:15, and Race 3, which is the final race of the day for all the package, is at 5:05. We have got some support this weekend. It's the usual three. It's F4s, it's Minis, it's Porsche Carrera, Great Britain. It's the better of the options, but we're still missing that massive...
Junior hole, or just
another discipline in motorsport hole, but everything's fine. We're not allowed to say these sort of things. It's all good.
So we'll move on to our predictions then.
Yeah, go on then.
Because they're the crucial part. They are this preview.
Because it's got close. The championship is close in every aspect on the track and off the track here. The one that everyone cares about more, I think, is it Sutton going to get his fifth? No, they want to know, is Sam going to retain his trophy from last year? So
I'm currently leading.
Yeah,
only very slightly. It is 20 points to 19.
18.
To 18, sorry.
2018, yeah.
I'll take that extra point. It might be crucial at the end of the season. So, yeah, we've got our normal predictions for this weekend. Pole race winners, Jack Sears winners, and then general predictions as well. So your pole sitter, mate.
I have gone for Senna Proctor. Now, this kid is fast. He is in the top 10 of the championship, having raced not all rounds, having missed the first three. He's going to have, obviously, increased boost compared. He's going to have less boost reduction than people around him. That's the way of putting it. And I think that the call from his teammates or his team is going to be, you get as fast as possible and fire up the grid as possible and then cause issues from there. Yeah. So I'm going for Proctor.
I'm going for Dan Kamish.
Okay.
Now, there is a risk with this because Dan Kamish at Donington, it either goes one of two ways. He either has a brilliant weekend or he's on fire.
Mm.
I'm going for the first option, and hopefully he's going to take pole, and then I've also got him for a race win.
He is close in the Wingfoot Award of Ingram, so I can understand your logic. You've gone for Kamish for a race win, okay. I've got Ingram. I've been quite conservative with my race winners, to be honest with you, because I can't afford to lose. At this stage of the season, I can't afford a gap to open, so I've got to make sure that I'm playing the percentages to a degree. So I've gone for Ingram for a race win. What a shock.
As have I,
because
I just think he is the absolute form driver at the moment, and the combination of him, that car, and this track, I just think,
I think Sutton also gets a race win because I can see him going for bust in one of the races. He'll either get a race win or end up looking up the wrong way up the Craner curves. I think it's getting to that point of the season now where Sutton's going to have to crank it up slightly because he's the simple fact of the matter is there are 9 races to go and he's got to finish in front of Ingram in at least, I would say, 6 of those.
Yeah.
At this stage, to close the gap, then keep the gap. So,
unless we have one non-finish, and that completely change everything.
But I think,
and both ways as well.
But I think there comes a point in this championship where Sutton's going to have to up the ante slightly in a way Ingram doesn't have to at the moment.
My final race winner, and this may surprise you.
It has surprised me. It has.
I've gone for Chris Smiley. I think he likes this circuit, and as I've already mentioned, the Hyundai goes well here. So I think he might just sneak a race 3 win.
I think he wins a race this season. I just don't think it's here.
Okay, so we'll see.
I'm going for Senna Proctor for a win as well. Yeah. I think it might be Ingram wins race 1, Proctor drops to 4th maybe, and wins race 2 on the tyre offset. Maybe, I don't know, we'll see.
The only thing I would be careful about, and that's why I'm slightly careful about Kamish
and Proctor, because they're going to have to...
having wins is if they've got a teammate behind them, they're going to have to yield at this stage of the season.
Yeah, they will have to, but I don't, in a race 3, you'd imagine Ingram will be a bit further back. Would he get, he could easily get through to 2nd, I don't disagree, but
I know.
I also think that even if he is in 2nd, I know what you're saying, but it'd be absolutely insert expletive here, horrible for Proctor to have to give a race win.
Yeah, it would.
I'm not sure he necessarily would.
If he wants to drive next season,
I'm not sure he necessarily would give up a win. Giving up a podium is one thing. Giving up a win is another.
There's certainly many beers owed at the moment in Napa and Virtue.
I agree with you there.
Jack Sears winner. We've agreed on this.
Yeah,
weekend.
The thing is that every time we back somebody else, the other person wins. I've backed Leon 3 weeks running, and every time he's been brilliant until race 3, and it's all falling apart. So
Leon's going to win it this weekend.
It's going Buxton's way. It's always the way.
Yeah, we've both gone for Charles Rainford this weekend. We'll see how that one pans out.
Yep, and then we've got our general predictions.
We're getting more intricate with these, I would say.
We can't use the same one twice. No, that's the rules. We ideally try not to use each other some earlier in the season as well. And there is only so many. There's 90 predictions we have to do throughout the season. There's a lot to try and do.
With the teams gradually dwindling the number of cars down, it does get tougher.
So I've gone for that. Every Hyundai, which is all 6 of them, scores points twice or more. So over the three rounds, all 6 will finish in the top 15 twice.
Okay. I have gone for the top 3 scoring Virtue Hyundais.
Yeah, this is the Top Gear meme, isn't it?
To outscore the top 3 scoring Nappas.
So in practice, or theory, it will be Ingram, Chilton and Proctor versus Kamish, Sutton and Rowbottom.
Yeah.
But of course, Morgan or Osborne could be subbed in if they were to outscore the other ones. Yes, suggest. Yeah, okay.
We'll have to work that one out with fastest laps and
poles
and all sorts and lead laps at the end of the weekend. And we are going to have to get the calculator out.
Yes.
Sorry, I was more modern there.
I can't do modern maths. I've gone for at least one BMW podium. I think they will be okay this weekend to score a podium somewhere along the line.
Banking on Hill.
Oh, Rainford.
Okay.
Rainford's had good pace all season. De Leon has gone well at speed. Just if he can not be a bit silly. Hopefully the grass hasn't been cut so freshly for him this weekend.
I've also gone for a BMW prediction. I've gone for Aidan Moffett to outscore either Daryl De Leon or Charles Rainford this weekend. Traditionally throughout the season, he's been the lowest scoring BMW of the weekend. I'm hoping coming off the high of Knockhill, and he did well. Yes, he didn't really, I don't think he outscored the other two, but he did do well. And
in a very solid weekend, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll ride on that wave.
And in fairness, he was barged out the way at one point as well. Yeah. I've also gone for my final prediction. Two of the top four missed the fast six. So lots of numbers to contend with there.
Two, four, and six.
But effectively, two of Ingram, Sutton, Rowbottom, or Cavish will miss, or more. Could be three, or could be all four of them before you start getting pedantic. At least two of those will miss the fast six qualifying session.
Okay. We'll see, because they've been pretty consistent for getting in there.
They have, although the boost situation is as it is. I think it'll be quite a powerful at Bonnington. And of course, the rain, if it is raining on Saturday, is the great leveller. And it just takes a mistake. Just takes a little wheel dipped a bit too much on the wet
track limits, maybe. Yeah.
A little bit of kissing the painted curb, and suddenly your lap's in trouble. And we saw Sutton at Knockhill make a rare mistake, but a mistake that cost him in qualifying.
Yep. My final one is going to be the two cars at restart, both Hyundai's there, will outscore all four Toyotas this weekend combined. Okay. Which I know seems a bit optimistic, but I've also seen how poor Toyota have been doing this season.
You are placing a lot of trust in Lloyd's engine, perhaps more trust than he's placing in his engine.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. And then for our general prediction, we're going for running wide at the old hairpin. This means that they must drop at least one wheel in the gravel.
Yep.
I've got the job Monday of tossing those up. So that
well, depending where we sit for the spectating, we might be able to pick a few
pick
up along
up as well.
Way.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Yeah. I've gone for 11.
And I've gone for 9. I think that I don't think it'll be as many as you think. Yeah. And it's got to be in the three races. Qualifying and practices do not count in that regard.
Don't.
Cool. I think that is pretty much it. Apart from to say that we are going this weekend. So as ever, if you see us.
Where aren't we?
Most likely. But if you do see us as ever, if you want to come and say hi and have a chat, by all means, pop all over and do so. Also, like I said, get the car park. That's my biggest fear of the weekend.
We'll be fine.
I've got a new.
We've worked out a system for Donington.
I have got a new pack of cards as well that I will bring them in case, though.
We might be able to record the podcast in that time.
We might be able to. And I've also been following somebody on Instagram who does games you can play with a notebook and pen. So again, just because I've. That 2 hours has left.
You lead a thrilling life, don't you?
I do. That 2 hours has absolutely scarred me from that time to get out of the car.
Let us know your thoughts and feelings on what may happen this weekend. Who is going to possibly take home the title at the end of the season, and what mystery may be thrown up.
Yes. I was just thinking that I'm also going to be able to miss Arsenal tearing Kanate apart at Anfield, which is quite nice for me as well, to be fair. Absolutely. If you're going this weekend, be safe, be sensible, and we'll see you on the review.
Yeah, see you soon.
Cheerio.